Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is John Stickle. He's lead pastor of Valley Creek Church, a multi-site church in Texas, named one of Outreach Magazine's top 100 fastest-growing churches 3 years in a row. He has a master's degree in Christian leadership from Denver Seminary, and he and his wife, Colleen, and their kids live in Highland Village, Texas. John, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here with you guys.
Now, your new book is called Follow the Cloud, and I want you to tell us, what does that mean to you?
Basically, it's a reference to the story of the Israelites. When God set them free from Egyptian slavery and he led them on the journey to the promised land, he gave them a cloud, which has just captured me. It's an interesting way, of all the ways that God could have led his people from slavery to a life of freedom, he chose to do it through a personal and present cloud, because I think that's who God is, intimately personal and ever-present with us. And from within that mighty cloud, he spoke to them with the gentleness of a whisper, just saying, just follow me one next step at a time. Where I go, you go. When I stop, you stop. When I move, you move. Keep your eyes on me, and I'll lead you to discover who you are, who I am, and what you were created to do. And I really believe that's a great picture of what a Spirit-led life looks like today. Today, the cloud is not above us. It's within us, the presence of God, the Spirit of the living God within inside of us, leading us one next step at a time to live in the fullness of the freedom that Jesus offers us.
That's a beautiful picture, one of my favorite pictures of the Old Testament. When you look at the way the cloud led them, it was pretty unmistakable. I mean, in other words, they didn't have to wonder, is this God's will? Should we be going this way? God's leadership and direction, his desire for them, was very clear. But I also love the fact in Exodus 14 that the path was one that would be misunderstood by others. It was one that was going to cause Pharaoh to think the Israelites are wandering around in the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. That's what God said Pharaoh would think. So God sometimes leads us very clearly. If we're walking with him, if we're walking in the Spirit, if we know what it is to walk with the Lord, as you said, one step at a time, God may lead us in a path that other people who don't see the cloud are going to say, that's crazy. What are you doing? You're going in circles. That doesn't make any sense. Have you ever been in those kinds of situations?
Oh, all the time. I think a true Spirit-led life doesn't always make sense to the people of the world. You know, Proverbs tells us, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And so the truth is, at the end of the day, we can have the best laid plans that look awesome on a piece of paper, but the truth is that God's detours are always faster than our freeways. God's going to often ask us to do something that doesn't make sense. He's going to ask us to go left when we want to go right, speed up when we want to slow down. He's asking us going to go here when we would rather go there. And what I've learned along the way in my own life is that following God means he's going to ask you to do a lot of the things that you don't necessarily want to do. Like, he's going to ask you to give when you want to take, and serve when you want to be served, and forgive when you want an apology, and go when you want to stay, or stay when you want to go. But the more you walk with God, the more you start to believe that heavenly wisdom doesn't always make sense in earthly circumstances, but it's always leading you on the path to life.
Amen.
And that's the goodness of God in that sense, is it doesn't have to make sense to everybody else. If we're walking with God, we can be confident that even though it looks like we may be crossing a valley of death, there's green pastures on the other side.
Amen. Amen. You've been through a lot of personal experiences and what we might call ministry decisions that people would have said, that's crazy. As you mentioned in the book, someone you looked to for counsel and hopefully confirmation when you felt God was leading you to do something said you'll fail. And from a human standpoint, that's what it looked like ought to happen. But apparently you knew the Lord enough to go ahead and take the step of faith and do what you felt God was telling you to do. That came from experience, didn't it?
Yeah, it's always encouraging when people you trust say, oh, that's not going to work. You know, you're like, okay, that's awesome. Thank you. but that's part of the journey, right?
And so, yes.
For us, it was, I really believe there's this truth of God's faithfulness yesterday gives us the faith we need for today. And so the more I walk with God and the more I cross over things, the more now I have this, if you will, history with God that I can look back on and say, look at how he was faithful. He didn't leave me there. He showed up in this moment. He provided for me in this place. And so now that he's asking me to cross the Red Sea or the Jordan or to fight these giants or whatever it might be, I really don't need to panic because I can draw back on what he has already done. And that's going to give me the faith for today. And I think the story that you're addressing in there was a decision that we felt like God was inviting our church to make, and, and it just went against every bit of worldly counsel in a logical sense of church growth in today's day and age. Mm-hmm. But as a leadership team, our elders in godly community, we sought God together. We all were hearing him say the same thing. So even though we were asking some outside people and heard some different things or some people thought it didn't make sense, the biblical community that we were walking with through scripture, through confirmation, and in total unity felt like we were hearing God. And so that and God's faithfulness yesterday combined together gave us the courage to move forward. And then God shows up and does what he promises he's going to do.
Amen. And you mention in that, that God not only gave you this shared sense in your leadership team, but that he was confirming it from scripture. Is God ever going to lead us to do something that goes against the scriptures?
No, I think that's like one of the biggest damages towards empowering people to hear the voice of God today is is people that have abused the voice of God by saying, God told me to dot, 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 and it's something God would never ask them to do, and they abuse it, and people get hurt, and so then and all kinds of things that come with it. And once you throw down that God card, it's like no one can argue with you then. But but what I talk about in the book and what I really believe personally and what we do at our church is I think hearing God's voice is a lot like gold mining. If you ever think about it, it's like if you've ever seen a gold wash plant, they dig up this big scoop of dirt from the earth and they throw it into this plant and it's full of rocks and dirt and some gold is in there. And as it goes through the wash plant, at every layer, it gets sifted out a little bit more, and more of the debris is removed, more of the debris is removed, and then all of a sudden you get to the end of the whole thing, and what's left is the gold. Well, I think that's a lot like with God's voice in this world. I mean, this world is full of so much noise. There's so much stuff commanding our attention, so many things that are so loud, so many things that we're unsure of, so many places in our own minds where we have ungodly beliefs, all kinds of things that I think when we sense that we're hearing God's voice, I think there's a filter that we need to run it through. Like, number one, does it align with Scripture?
Right.
If it doesn't, it's already over. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Do not move forward. That's not the Lord. And then I think the second one that people, I think this one is so important and we often miss it, is does godly counsel confirm it? And what I mean by that is not just asking your buddy, hey, I think God said this. What do you think? Does that sound like God? Yeah, sure. No, what I mean by that is, do you have godly counsel in your life that knows the whole story of what's happening in your life, that you can take something and say, I sense God saying this. It aligns with scriptures. Will you please pray on this?
Yeah.
Because God only has one thing to say about this topic. He's not going to tell you left and tell me right. And so will you pray with me and see if this is what God's saying? And then if he is, then we come back and we say, okay, godly counsel confirms it. And then you can ask, is there a sacred echo? Am I hearing it in more than one place and circumstances lining up? Then does it require faith? Because everything God's inviting us to do requires faith. And then the last one is it leading me closer to Jesus? Anything that's leading me away from Jesus is not going to be his voice, because the good shepherd is always drawing the sheep unto himself. And so I think it's super important to run through those filters so we don't unintentionally end up in a place we don't want to be and then blame it on God.
Amen. Amen. And folks, please notice the one he listed first is does it line up with Scripture? And if it does not line up with Scripture, that's the end of the discussion. There are a multitude of well-known, professed evangelicals in our culture today who are announcing that the Spirit is leading them to do something that is entirely inconsistent with Scripture. And folks, if it doesn't line up with Scripture, it's not the Holy Spirit who's leading these folks. So please understand that we want you to listen to God. I also know that there are people in evangelicalism today, so-called, who insist that anybody who says God still speaks today and that you can hear from God today and that you should be led in a personal, intimate way by God, that person is absolutely wrong. The canon is closed. Well, the canon is closed, but God isn't dead. And God hasn't got laryngitis. God is still speaking today, and he tells us in his word, if you're going to talk about the canon, if you're going to talk about Scripture, then please note what Scripture teaches. It teaches that God speaks to his children and that his sheep hear his voice and follow him. So please, this is why this subject is so important, and this is why we have John Stickle on the broadcast today talking about his new book, Follow the Cloud. And folks, I want you to understand this is where the rubber meets the road. You don't need to just know somebody who knows God. You need to know God. You don't just need to know about God. You need to know God. John, how would you tell a person to follow the cloud in their own life? What have you experienced in your life?
That was really well said, the way you just said that. I really appreciate that. And that's why I think it's so important, because I think we get so extreme and we ditch things on one side or the other.
Exactly.
But really, if God wants us to hear him and wants us to walk with him, he wants us to do it in a healthy way within the parameters that he's already given us. And so to answer that question, I think, I think that we have this little phrase that we use. We just say, ask, listen, and respond. Like, if we could just simplify things down to say, like, hey, I'm just going to ask God, what's the next step that you want me to take?
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask God for like a 20-year plan of your life. You know,
Amen.
Like what I love about what Jesus says with the Holy Spirit, he says, hey, the Holy Spirit's going to come because there's more that I want to say to you than you can even handle right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I told you everything, it would just overwhelm you. You wouldn't be able to move forward. I think about that. Like if God would have told me everything that's happening in my life today 10 years ago,
yeah,
I would have been so overwhelmed. I'm not sure I would have wanted to follow. I would
right.
have been like, you know what? I think I'm going to go in the other direction. So he promises the Holy Spirit will tell us what we need to know exactly when we need to know it.
Amen.
So if we'll just ask God, what's my next step? And then listen to his voice. And I believe the real question isn't, is God speaking? It's, are we willing to listen?
Amen.
I think we say, God, turn your voice up. I think God says, turn your life down.
Amen.
If we'll position ourselves in a way that we will make his voice of value in our life, he promises that we will hear it so we can hold on to that promise and then just respond by faith and take that step, whatever it may be, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it feels uncomfortable, even if it feels sometimes, I think sometimes a lot of the steps that God is actually asking us to take seem trivial or insignificant, but what we forget is that sometimes those insignificant steps are actually God positioning us for where he wants to take us in the future. And so when you just have this belief, like, wherever God is leading me is better than where I've been, then you become desperate to say, God, show me what's next. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp into my feet and a light into my path.
Amen.
Like, God promises he will show us our next step, lamp into my feet and a light into our path, the direction that we're headed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's usually about all he'll give us, a next step and a direction.
Yes.
And then as we follow him on that, he speaks in sentences, not paragraphs, because you can only obey one sentence at a time. And he'll start giving you one dot to follow. And then as you start doing those, with each one, he opens up the next one, and we get to keep moving forward with him.
Amen. I think a lot of the time when God gives us that next line, that next sentence, we aren't sure we want to follow what he says in that sentence until we hear the rest of the paragraph. And it's like, okay, now I'm not sure where you're going with this, God. You're going to have to explain more to me before I'm willing to obey. And God doesn't say okay. He says obey. And so if we are willing to do as you said and take that next step, do what God says now, you don't have to know the rest of it. You just need to do what God says right now. And I've certainly experienced that over and over in my life when things didn't make sense to me. You know, God, why would you want me to do that? And inevitably, even when God won't tell me the rest of the paragraph, I invent it. I say, oh, well, God must want me to do this because of this. And if I do this, then this is going to happen. You know, I can't think of one scenario where when I've been right. It's all, you know, it's like, God, listen, wait a minute, hold on. I already have this figured out, and now you're asking me to do something that doesn't fit with what I came up with. And God keeps saying, obey. And he's always right. He's always right.
So good.
Yeah. As you were working on this book, I love the way you have it organized. You talk about section one, awaken to life. Section two, receive his grace. Section three, experience his presence. And section four, release his kingdom. You also have kind of a threefold emphasis that runs through the book, and that is when you talk about receive his grace, you're talking about our identity, finding our identity in him. And then experience his presence, you're talking about relationship. And then release his kingdom, that's our purpose. You've got so much packed into here. What was the process like for writing this book? How long did you work on this thing yourself?
It was probably like 18 months, I think, the whole thing. You know what? It's really interesting because I had no intention of doing this. It's one of those steps that kind of came out of left field for me with the Lord. And
yeah.
In fact, I even brought, when the whole opportunity presented itself, I took it to our elders and said, like, hey, this is an opportunity. I don't know that I even want to do this. And then they prayed about it and came back and said, no, we think God's asking you to do it, so we want you to pray about it differently, and came to that conclusion together. That's the beauty, again, of counsel.
Yes.
In hearing God's voice. But the whole thing really came out of my own personal journey of finding the life of freedom with God, that I think we've spent so much time thinking that this journey with God is all about the things we have to do for him. And we forget that, like, God didn't need Noah to build the ark. He didn't need David to kill Goliath. And he Amen. Didn't need the disciples to establish the kingdom. But he wanted them to come with him and take next steps so that they could discover who they were, mm-hmm. who God was, and what they were created to do. And I think this journey that God took the Israelites on, we often think about it was getting to the promised land, and it was, but we think of the promised land in terms of a destination. I think the promised land, in a lot of ways for us, it's not about getting somewhere. It's really about discovering who God says we now are, who he has always been, and what we were created to do. And those three things all work together because identity determines behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it, like, starts in the beginning of, like, God gives you this call and you start moving. And then as you discover who you are, it changes what you do. Like I say it like this, like, fish swim, birds fly, cows moo, dogs bark, sinners sin, righteous people live righteously, mm-hmm. beloved sons and daughters live free in their Father's kingdom.
Amen.
And so while we spend so much time trying to change how people behave, I think God spends a lot of time trying to change what we believe,
mm-hmm.
because he knows that identity determines behavior, who you are, determines what you do. And every step we take helps us discover more of that. And then that sets us free to live in the fullness of the life that God has for us. Jesus didn't die just to give us a ticket to heaven.
Amen.
He died to give us back the fullness of the life that Adam lost. And Romans tells us that what we lost in Adam, Jesus has even given us back that much more now with this new life that we have in Christ with the Spirit of the living God. And so much of the book is my own. It came out of my own personal journey,
mm-hmm.
and then our church's journey of a life of finding this freedom that God offers of not try harder, behave better, do more, but receive the fullness of what God offers. Jesus said, it is finished, not I'm working on it. So if we spend more time talking about what we have to do than what Jesus has done, we're kind of missing the point.
Amen.
Because what he has done changes what we do.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Thank you, brother. You know, you spent 18 months putting this together and working on the package, if you will, but obviously God had spent a long time before that teaching you these life lessons and getting you to the point of being able to share it in a way that is very relatable. People who read this book are going to get very clear communication. Even in this interview, you've communicated very clearly and said some wonderful expressions that capture great big sections of truth, and I appreciate that about the way you communicate.
Thank you.
Folks, again, the book is Follow the Cloud. Its author is John Stickel. He's a pastor and a husband and a dad, but he is our brother in Christ, a Christ follower, and he knows what it is to wait on the Lord, to listen to the Lord, and to obey the Lord. And that makes all the difference. I would not be where I am today doing what I'm doing if it hadn't been for the clear leading of the Lord. When I told precious friends, accountability partners, that I believed God was leading me to resign the church in Atlanta and come to Tennessee and start a children's home on a piece of raw land that God had given us after over 20 years of prayer. They said, you know, are you okay? That just doesn't make sense. If you want to reach young people, you're reaching more young people in Atlanta than you're going to reach up there in the mountains. Your campus, when it's fully built, as you've explained it to us, is not going to house that many kids. Right now, you have a ministry where you're reaching a lot of people. Why would you leave and go there? Are you feeling stressed? Do you need time off? You know, what's going on? And it just didn't make sense, except to God. And it was scary for me. It was scary for my wife. I've shared before the story about as I was on the way to the church to tell the chairman of the personnel committee that I was resigning to go start a children's home. My wife said, you know, I've always told you I'm willing to go wherever God leads you, but this would be a great time for God to confirm for me that this really is his leading. And folks, he did it. I went ahead and resigned before I got the confirmation, but God had given us confirmation, just a miraculous, clear confirmation that this was him within 12 hours of when we prayed that prayer together. And, God will do whatever it takes to confirm his leading in your life as long as you're committed to do whatever God is leading you to do. If you're not sure what it is God wants you to do, God can make it clear. He knows your language. But if you're saying, show me what you want me to do and I'll consider it, well, don't think it's going to get clearer. Because it starts with that relationship, with submission to him, with knowing that you can trust him. He gave his life for you. Jesus died, not just so that you'd be forgiven. As John said, not just to give you a ticket to heaven. He wants you to have life abundant, eternal life that is his life. He wants you to be found in Christ. And that's where our righteousness comes from. It's his righteousness. So please, as you read this book, and I hope you will, as you read this book, Follow the Cloud, realize that this isn't just for Jim Wood or John Stickel or a handful of other folks out there. This is for every child of God. God loves you. You're not part of the audience. You're part of the family. And so I hope that the message today has been an encouragement to you to get real personal with God and just to trust him. Because if you trust him, he'll show you what he wants you to do. John, thank you so much for being on the broadcast with us.
Thanks so much for having me. It was great to talk with you today.
Well, likewise. I hope we'll have more opportunities. Write some more books, okay? Listen, we do appreciate it, and we pray God's blessing on you. You've been very clear in this book, and I think it's going to help a lot of folks.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.